Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Say 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, not 2, 4, verse 7. Yeah. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So Paul here says that I have fought the good fight of faith. I have kept the faith. Can we say together, kept the faith? So it means that there are things Paul was intentional about keeping. And one of those things was that he kept the faith. And we also know that the keeping of the faith is by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who works the keeping. The Holy Spirit is the one who works the ability to stay with Christ. Faith is a gift. The keeping of the faith is also a supply of the Spirit. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. So faith wasn't generated, but faith came to you. So when you heard the gospel, faith came to you. There was something you heard that made you believe. That believing wasn't because you are a good boy or a good girl. The faith came to you. So Paul here saying, I have kept the faith, is speaking very directly to the fact that he was also kept by God. There are very important things to keep in 2024. One of it, apart from the faith, is also your passion and your zeal. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You will keep your money, you will keep your house, you will keep your family, you will keep your children, you will keep your job if you really desire to. Because I don't want to prophesy that when people want to leave. But most importantly, keep the faith. It's instruction for the year. Keep the faith. And in keeping the faith is saying, focus on Christ. Because when you don't focus on Christ, you'll be carried away by every wind of doctrine. And in keeping the faith, it's also important that you keep the passion that comes with the faith. When you got born again, there was a passion supplied to your spirit. That passion must be kept. I told the Lord and I said to God, when I become too big as a man of God, that I have lost passion for your things, please tell me. I know I will hear your voice. Because I don't want to be too big to be passionate over something, or to be not passionate over what I used to be passionate for before. So in 2024, you keep the passion. Keep your fervency for the Lord. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. This is the born again experience. And purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good work. So you see now that zeal came when you got saved. Have you ever heard people who say, when I got born again, I was on fire for Jesus. And then as time went on, I got exposed. Now I'm exposed. Exposed, bao. Nah. We don't outgrow the things of God. Amen, somebody. When a man loses zeal, or when a woman loses zeal, she's about to lose everything. When you see a man, mature man with beards, with full chest, or half chest, and there's no zeal in life, or there's no zeal for the things of God, he's about to lose everything. One of the ways you mark the quality of your existence is your hunger for moving forward, right? You wake up in the morning, there is something to look forward to. And then when it comes to the things of the Spirit of God, you must keep your passion. Your zeal is an asset. Your zeal is an asset. You know, people say zeal is for when you were younger. That's what some people say. Or zeal is when we just joined TSP. You know, we're more zealous about things. And some of us have a very bad attitude. Let me explain. Someone comes to church for the first time and is zealous for the things of God. You, on the other hand, who is a natural joy killer, you are now telling your friend, don't worry, with time, the zeal will come down. I like what Pastor Paul said, that's not me. If you don't say it, you are a suspect. You better say it, let me hear you. If not, okay. But are you following what I'm saying? You know, there are people who just feel like, what till they do this one? It will come around. When he settle, he will meet us. He will not say that we there here since. That's a wrong attitude. Keep your zeal. Keep your passion for the things of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. One of the ways you mark God's special people is that they are zealous for what? You can look at the multimedia screen. They are zealous for what? So, being zealous for good work doesn't mean you're not zealous about your personal life, zealous about other things. You're zealous for other things, but you are also as, or even more, zealous for good works than other things. It's important too. You see, my message is not contemporary, because the Bible has not called us to preach for a generation. He has called us to prepare people for himself, regardless of generation. Is that correct? Okay, so this Bible is written over, the Word of God is existing for how many years now? Thousands of years. Actually, you know, the Bible is different from the Word of God. What's the difference? The Bible is a compilation of God's Word. It's a book. That's why Jesus said, you search the scriptures, but in the scriptures you think you have eternal life. But you don't know the scriptures are pointing to me. So that means that the word of God is not necessarily the Bible. But the word of God is in the Bible. This book has many words, including Satan's words. Someone opened the Bible and said, whatever the Bible tells me to do today, I will do it. So he opened the Bible. And what he saw, and Judas hung himself. He closed it. He said, no, it's a mistake. He now say, I will give the Lord a second chance. You know when you are giving the Lord a second chance? He gave the Lord a second chance, and he opened the second time. You know what he saw? That which you should do, do it quickly. If the scriptures are not pointing to Christ, you are not reading the Bible properly. Are you following me? So, you are called to be zealous for good works. 2024 is a year. I started doing this on Sunday, and I'll continue this Sunday. I'll tell you things not to lose your passion on, things that you must continue steadfastly. The word is consistency. Consistency. You know, when you're consistent in something, sometimes it doesn't feel like anything is added. Because consistency doesn't feel like increase sometimes. But the moment you go out of consistency, that's when you know something is missing. Husbands and wives, Selah. In your walk with God, you know, God is dealing with us patiently and kindly. But you see, if the Lord withdraws his mercies from you, you and I won't be standing here today. So let's be consistent in our passion for good works. Somebody say amen. 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 I'm talking to passionate people and I know what I mean. Mark chapter 1 and verse 45. Mark chapter 1 and verse 45. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter. Let's read verse 43 so we have some context. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely. What do you think happened here? This man was healed of what? Okay, so go back to verse 42. Is it 42? Let's see. 42. I want to show you that your zeal has a focus. That's what I want to show you here. And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hands and touched him. And he said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. This is the man who was leprous, right? If I go to verse 41, sorry. Is it 40? Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down. Who knows who a leper is in Israel? When a leper is coming, what do you do? You move away. Do you know what is around a leper? Bells. So that whilst the leper is approaching, you're giving way. Leprous, unclean, you're supposed to shout unclean as you're moving forward so people can get out of the way. You don't touch a leper because there is the possibility you contact leprosy by touching him. So now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus touched the leper. You know, we can preach on that. Jesus touched the leper. It wasn't just about that he healed him, but that he touched him. That is passion. he's so passionate about this guy. Firstly, he was compassionate about him. He stretched out his hands and he touched him. And said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away. Now, good news, right? Something good had happened to this guy. Then the next verse, and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. So how can you say nothing about something good that has happened to you? It's so difficult. And that is why it is difficult to be quiet about the gospel. The gospel is good news. You can't be, except you don't know the gospel. Then the next verse, verse 45. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city. The guy spoiled market for Jesus. Jesus had planned to come into the city. But because of this guy's zeal and passion, but I'm showing you that his zeal and passion came from something good that happened to him. So, if this leprous man who had received healing can be this passionate to spread Jesus around the city, you can do that about the gospel. Praise God, somebody. But was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Next verse. And again he entered Capernaum, and after some days it was heard that he was in the house. Praise the Lord, somebody. I want you to be so passionate this year about the things of God that it becomes a part of your life. You know, I look at people like, what's his name now? Kenneth Hagin. This man, before he died, was preaching the gospel in his old age. I want to be like that. I'm telling you. Do you know that Abraham at the age of 80 was jumping and rejoicing? You know when the Bible says that Abraham rejoiced to see my days? That's what Jesus said. Abraham was doing that at the age of 80 years old. So your passion is going to be fueled from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The more you focus on the gospel, your passion increases. Somebody say amen. Amen. So stay with the gospel this year. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 13. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Go to verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. You're going to be passionate about prayers. Praise God. Let your passion be there for prayers. Fervently praying for the people of God, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, if you think about it, what is his business with these people's lives? You really have to love God and to really understand assignment, to be passionate about somebody else's life. That all you are doing is fervently praying for that person. And sometimes the people you're praying for don't even know you're praying for them. But that's where God wants us to come to. Amen. So Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant, greets you, always laboring fervently. Pray for your family members. Pray for the church. Pray for yourself. Be fervent in prayer. Passionately in prayer. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Fervent in prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Start from verse 1 and use the NLT version. Start from verse 1, use the NLT version. I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. For I know how eager you are to help. Somebody says zeal. I know how eager you are. You see, be eager this year. Am I talking to people? Be eager for good things this year. When it comes to the things of God, be eager. Please tell two people around you, say, be eager. Be eager. Then what does it say? For I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. So your eagerness would affect your neighbor. Praise God. So God wants you in 2024 to be eager about the right things. Be zealous about the right things. Keep your passion this year. TSB, you hear what I'm saying? Okay, keep your passion, please. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. And the same is true for you, since you are so eager to have the special abilities which the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. So as much as you're eager for spiritual giftings, all right? The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the workings of miracles, gift of faith, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all of that. He says, be eager. Right? Also, about things that strengthen the whole church. So let your passion and your eagerness be about the collective gathering. Let your passion be about the collective gathering. Not just the personal thing. You're not just passionate about what is personal to you, but you are passionate about what is collective to the church. And this cuts across everybody. This explains the unity of the church, that we're united on this matter. So you are passionate about someone in church, as long as he's a member of your local church. You're passionate about your brother, your sister. You don't need to know him, but you are passionate about him. You know what I love about TSP? There is love in this house. I love that. And our love is not yet perfect. We're growing. We'll get better. But you can't say there is no love. There is love. Because we have learned to love as Christ has loved us. So we are passionate about others. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you know my prayer for you is that your love will abound yet more and more. Amen. I was talking to the workers, I think it was yesterday, and I said to them that your love, the love of God, is supposed to increase your discernment, your ability to judge, so that your judgment is right. What do I mean by that? I think that's in Philippians 1 verse 9. It says that let your love so grow that it is reflected in all knowledge and judgment. That you would understand how to judge things because of how you know God loves you. Let me say this right. Nobody can judge a believer except a believer. The unbeliever or the world is not in the right place of objectivity to judge you, because you are called the spiritual. And the Bible says that nobody judges the spiritual, but the spiritual judges all things. So what that means is, if you are the kind of person who allows many worldly influences in your life, you will never have Christian discernment about things. You know, Paul was writing and he said in this matter, he said, when two Christians are fighting, don't let an unbeliever come in between, because the unbeliever can never give sound judgment. So it tells you that a Christian, a believer, is the one who has the capacity, objectively from God's standpoint, to judge things rightly. Not everything good is God. So your sense of judgment has to be God, not good. God. Is this Christ? If this is not Christ, then this is not good. Are you with me, somebody? So it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. That zeal, that is passion. And lastly, Acts chapter 26, verse 29. Acts chapter 26 and verse 29. Glory to God. And Paul said, I would to go to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. So Paul says, I want you to be like me. I want you to be as passionate as I am. The only difference is I don't want you to be in jail. But I want you to be just as I am. Paul says, as I am passionate, be passionate that way. You know, Paul was a passionate guy. Even when he was not born again, he was passionate. Yes. You know, it's funny how some people who were, you were passionate when you were unsaved. Now you are saved and you are cooling down for Jesus. That's an error now. You must be passionate for Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. And your passion for Jesus comes from Jesus. Your passion for Jesus comes from the gospel. Did I say last scripture? One more. Luke 24, verse 40. Let's start from 40. Luke 24, 40. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. These were those two guys on their way to Emmaus. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, Have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate. This is spirit. Jesus had resurrected. And he was eating what? Broiled fish. So there's hope. That we'll eat when we get there. Praise God. So all the food is in the house. All those who are passionate about food, be passionate about Jesus as much as you are passionate about food. If one of the ways you mark or you check your passion for God, ask yourself, what are you most passionate in life for first? To some of you, it's Chelsea. To others of you, it's food. To some people, it's Bet Ninja. Not supposed to be in TSV. To some other people is their job, They just like walk. Even when they are sleeping, they are still doing like this. I don't know what you... So, think about it. Ask yourself. Ask yourself now. Say after me. What? Answer me. What? Am I passionate about? Apart from? Answer me. Apart from God? Answer. Answer, answer, answer. Don't talk to me, but just answer. Have you answered?
Yes.
Now, say after me. From now, I will be more passionate for Jesus than call it. Call that thing you said. Call that thing you said. Call it, call it, call it, call it. Call it, call it. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be passionate this year. Let's not lose our passion. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said, I have kept the faith. I fought the good fight of faith. I finished my race. Have we finished reading that scripture? And he took it and ate it in their presence. Next verse. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Keep going. And he opened their understanding. Ooh, Shapaya. And they might comprehend the scriptures. That they might comprehend the scriptures. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. I can preach on this, but no time. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Keep going. Is that all? Is that all? That's all. Where is the part where it says, did not our hearts burn? What verse is that? What verse is that? That's Luke 24, right? Is it Luke 20? I think it's Luke 24. Did not our hearts burn when he opened the scriptures to us? All the word men. Is it verse 32? Okay, so we went ahead of it. Go to verse 32, Luke 24, 32. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? You see what I'm showing you here? That in the opening of the scriptures, that was how their hearts were getting burning. The burning. So you must be a boiling Christian. Passion is that you are boiling. You are hot for Jesus. Not just warm water, but hot. If you are neither cold nor hot. What is that? What do you describe that now? Neither cold nor hot is what? Lukewarm. Please, we don't want you to be warm. You know why it's even good to be, it's better to be cold than warm? Because when you are cold, you will look for what is hot. That's why it says, if you are neither cold nor hot, you are just lukewarm. Lukewarm is that place of lethargy where you feel you don't need to change anything. When you are dry, you know you need to look for Christ. So he says, be hot. He says, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the third day and while he opened the scriptures? So when Christ is revealed, your heart will burn. When you see the gospel all the time, your heart will burn. Secret. And I leave you with this. The way you keep passion in 2024 is keep your focus on Christ. That's how you keep passion in 2024. Is that clear? So keep your focus on Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay with the gospel. Remind yourself of all the things that Christ has done for you. When you wake up in the morning, after you commit yourself to the Lord, and after you read every day Jesus, you read your Bible, you remind yourself, I am loved by God. He loves me and nothing can separate me from that love. And before you know it, you will burn every day. Because you need to do this, because the days are evil. But we redeem the time. That's how we do. We redeem the time. When the Bible says the days are evil, it doesn't mean the days are bad. It just means the days are unstable. That's what it's saying. When the scripture says, how much more you who are earthly parents, if your children come to meet you to ask for bread, would you give a stone? Or would you give snake if they ask for fish? You who are evil, how much more God? So when he says evil there, it's not saying you are bad. It's saying that you are unstable because you're human. The days are unstable. But regardless of the instability of the days, we redeem the time by focusing on Christ. And when we focus on Christ, we command predictable outcomes. That's our day. So by the end of January, you have many wins to celebrate. Talk to me, somebody. Are you with me? Yes, yes. You know what I see? Many of you will be victorious early in 2024. So many things early. To look back and clap your hands for the victories that have come to you so swiftly. How did you get this thing so quickly? It says, the Lord, your God, brought it my way so quickly. So quickly. When I start to struggle about things, I take a step back because it's not in me to struggle. We don't struggle for things. Things are meant to come to us. Things are meant to come to us. For goodness and mercy will follow us. Ayabakashata. All the days of our lives. And we dwell in the presence. We don't chase miracles in TSP. Miracles follow us. Miracles pursue us. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. Speak with new tongues. They follow us. So things follow us. Things follow us. You are not a hustler. Correct that narrative. Change the way you talk. You are not a hustler. You are not looking for gigs. You are not looking for hustle. Okay? It's not in you to sweat and toil. It's in you to work, not to sweat. There's a difference between work and sweat. You are not called to sweat. You are called to work and be productive. And listen to me, the little you do, it will be as if you've been doing it. Who is saying amen to that? The little you do is as if the breath of God is blowing his mighty wind upon it. And there is so much backing to that little you do. That's your life. Hallelujah, somebody. Yes, yes, yes. So release the grace for ease right now. Release the grace for ease right now. You will burn for Jesus. Your passion will be kept. Your passion will be stirred up. Every day you will see the mercies of God new every morning. I release upon you the spirit of grace and supplication. Yes, you're passionate about your prayer life, about your study life, about winning people for Jesus. I see women bringing thousands of people to Jesus, hundreds of people to Jesus, tens of people to Jesus. I see you laying hands on the sick in the market square, in the mall, in your office, and people are asking you, show me your God. Talk to me about your faith. What is your conviction? I see you doing miracles and wonders. That is your portion. That is you. That is you. I'm describing you. I see you excelling for God. I see you passionate for God. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory to God. Glory to God. I see you on fire for Jesus. Yes, Satan can't touch you because you're always hot. Yes, I see you on fire for Jesus. I see you standing in the gap for your family, in the place of prayer, as an intercessor, watching over the city, watching over the people of God, fervent for your brothers in church, fervent for your pastors in church, fervent for your leaders in church. I see you just on your knees, and compassion wells your heart. And you stretch your hands upon those who need help. Because when men will say there was a casting down, you will say there was a lifting up. I see you giving so many people a lifting. I see you lifting the hand of the troubled. I see you lifting the hand of the weary. For the Lord has given you a tongue of the learned, that you know how to open your mouth and to speak a word in season. Yes, and he opened your ears. He witnessed them morning by morning. And you know what to say. Your tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. And grace is poured upon your lips. You know how to answer every situation per time. You know how to speak a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of direction. Counsel will not depart from your house. Counsel will not depart from your spirit. For in the night seasons, the Lord will instruct you. In the seasons of your loneliness, the Lord will speak to your heart. Because the passion of the Holy Ghost, the zeal of the Lord will consume you. Yes, 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 yes. The zeal of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord. Father, we thank you. For in Jesus' name, clap your hands and give God the praise.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.